He promised us that He would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that He would be a Father, and He would love us with a love that would not cease. True. He's everything He said that He would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me. For He more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything that He promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is.
That's what Jesus is. Thank you, ladies. That is the truth. I hope that you have the same evaluation of our Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Father of Everlastingness. Amen. The Prince of Peace. Take your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 1. We'll get back into the Red Sea rules. I've got to take a break out of here for some special Sundays coming up, but then we'll get back to it eventually there. But here in Psalm chapter 1 on this graduation Sunday, while you're turning there, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed and my future is secure. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, and my mission clear. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, proclaim till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. I wish that could be the testimony of every one of us in our desire to follow the Lord. I'm fearful, though, that too many, I'm believing here, saying with quotes here, Christians want to go to heaven only and just not go to hell, and that's the only thing that they're after. And I believe that I'm concerned that there are some true Christians that are satisfied just with salvation and with going to heaven and not really pursuing there to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ has called every one of us, every one of us that truly knows the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to be delivered from sin, but we are to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus said there in Matthew 4:19 to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." In Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me," Jesus said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We must be careful as believers that we're not just wanting a home in heaven. We ought to be cautious not just to be desiring a companionship only with our Savior, but we must be courageous so as to develop a relationship with Christ as His disciple, as His follower. I've entitled the message to our graduates and to each one of us, "Who Are You Following?" Subtitled it there, "Guard Who Influences You." Father, I pray that as we look into this passage here and some others, that You will give us the insight that we need in order to understand Your truth and apply it to our lives today, especially as we enter into these summer months, as our graduates enter into a new chapter of their lives. Lord, as each one of us face decisions that we must make, may we be hard and fast following You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most all sports come with some type of offense and defense. Some of them very obvious, others of them in their strategies, etc., that is there. It's been said that the best offense is a good defense, and while it may certainly contribute, both are necessary, I believe, in having a good team or a good effort. I've divided today's message, though, into those two points there, a good defense and a good offense. The first I want us to see there is the good defense there. We are to be on guard against those that want to influence us incorrectly. Here in Psalm chapter 1 that I've asked you to turn to is a familiar passage that says, "Blessed," or happy, a state of well-being there, "is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," that being the Word of God, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here we have a promise that God gives to us, to the man that does not let others that are doing wrong influence him to continue or to go into that direction there. There are three areas that he warns about. He says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That counsel there, that wrong coaching that can come, is the evil planning so forth there that goes on by those that want to try to influence us by their plans, by their coaching and desires and so forth. We're not to stand in the way of sinners, that way being their practices, the evil practices that go on. We're not to be involved in that, obviously. And we're not to sit in the seat. The seat there is the planning part there of the wicked, of the evil that is there. Be careful of all of these influences that are coming your way, but look to the Word of God that will never lead you astray. God's Word is the truth. It is the truth because God said it. And we need to understand that, even if we do not understand exactly why it's true at the moment, we can trust that it is true, and everything that is ever found out, any new scientific information, etc., has come back to verify the truth of God's Word in the beginning. And so we must understand that truth, and we must trust it, and not be led astray by others there. The point is this. There are so many people that are trying and will try to lead you astray. Graduates, can I say to you that this, in your next endeavors there at college, there are going to be professors that have it on their agenda to find out who there are in that are Christians and try to get them to question their faith or deny their faith. That is part of what they do. And they're out there. Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church there in Lancaster, California, founder of West Coast Bible Baptist College there, etc., he wrote this. He said, it is no surprise when liberal professors of religion deny the truth of God's Word. We have come to expect it from what are regarded as the leading educational institutions in our country, despite the fact that some of those very schools were founded with the primary purpose to train preachers for the ministry. So when someone like Bart Ehrman, who teaches at the University of North Carolina, said, God, if He exists, cannot be Jesus Christ or the God of the Bible, when someone says something like that, Christians are not shocked. What is shocking is that Ehrman grew up in church and described himself at one point of his life as a born-again fundamentalist. He goes on to write, he says, whether he had been truly born again or not, I cannot know. But I do know that during his college and graduate training, that his faith was undermined by the attacks of his professors, and today Ehrman calls himself an agnostic atheist. Here we have all of this that's going on in our society today. Graduates, we have this going on where you're going to be going in your college education. All of these attacks are coming there. And the point is this, there is no faith so strong that it cannot be overwhelmed if the influences in our lives all work to undermine that faith. If the influences in your life that you allow all pull in that direction, mark it down, your faith is not strong enough to stand that type of tide. Jesus Christ can give us the victory, and the victory is ours. But there are guidelines in order to have victory. Just like in any sports, there are guidelines, there's strategies, there's instruction about how to have victory. But if we're going to ignore the instructions, then you can mark it down, the tide will take you under. And so it is important for us to stand the tide. And we must guard our minds. Just over a book there into Proverbs chapter 4, there's a passage that should be familiar to us. If it's not, I hope it will become. But it says in verse 23 of Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep there is the word that means to guard. Be on the defense. Your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs says. It's talking about in your mind there primarily. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issues there has to do with your standards there, where you draw the lines, the decisions that you make there. And then he goes to say, put away from thee a forward mouth, a perverse lips, etc. there. You're to guard about what you listen to. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on, your eyelids look straight before you. Guard what you look at, what you watch. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established there. Guard where you go. We could add with that, guard who you go with. And so he says there, turn not from the right hand nor from the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We are to guard our mind and the influences that come in those avenues from what we hear, from what we see, from what we experience when we go places and who we're going with. Those things must be guarded. If we do not guard against that kind of influence, we will be drawn away in the wrong direction. Our faith will wilter in those conditions there. Graduates, it's very important for you to get this and understand this, but this is important for every one of us. There's an example I like to share of a young man that I went to high school with. We both graduated at the same time. I went off to Bible college. He went off to the University of North Carolina. At Christmas time, we came home. I hardly recognized the young man. He had changed, not just in his appearance, but he had changed in his heart. He was one of the leaders of our youth group with me and two others. And yet, he had been influenced in the wrong way. Thankfully, within a few years, he got right with the Lord and got back in serving the Lord. But just understand, here is someone that we thought, he knew the truth. He was a leader of our youth. He was one of an example in our church. And yet, he was influenced by those that were trying to tear him down and lead him astray. And he went. We have to be careful. As our society becomes more and more anti-Christian than ever, we must guard what influences you. Be on the defense. Guard your mind. Secondly, we need to be on the offense. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're to be on the offense there, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as we'll see. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, the last verse there of that particular chapter, it says, therefore, all right, look back to see what it's there for. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch or because you know, as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there are three parts of this verse that I want us to see very quickly. And the first is we're to be steadfast. We're to stand for God. We're to stand for the truth of God's Word, even if we are standing alone. I could preach and have preached in the past an entire message on standing alone. Because so often in the Christian life, we find ourselves, whether it is in the workplace, whether it's in the school or college, whether it is in the family sometimes, we find ourselves alone as a believer and having to make a decision. Are we going to take our stand? Are we going to stand up for Jesus Christ? Are we going to stand up for His Word? Or are we going to keep our mouth shut and tuck our tail between our legs and just whimper off to the side? Decisions have to be made, and sometimes standing alone is a difficult thing to do. It's a scary thing to do. But I'm here to remind you, you're never alone. We have a Savior that never leaves us nor forsakes us. And when we think we may be or feel that we may be alone, just remember that Jesus Christ is right there with you. That ought to be one, an encouragement to you. That ought to be also a reminder to you that He is watching, that He sees, that He's right there to help us. Job is a good example of one that stood alone there in the depths of his suffering and despair. You remember how that he lost his possessions, he lost his family, he lost his health, and when he had been falsely accused even by his friends that should have been there to comfort him and encourage him there, God was silent. But in all of that, Job maintained his faith. He said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. I will trust in him. Job's close relationship with God enabled him to withstand against the attacks while standing alone. We are to always abound. The good offense there. We're to be steadfast. Secondly, we're to be unmovable. In the North Carolina House of Representatives, there's a man named Jeff Collins. He's been there. This is his fourth term. He's stepping down. He's moving out of the area there of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, where I grew up, and Nash County and Edgecombe, I believe it is, that he is representing, moving closer to his grandkids so he can be with them. And he has groomed another man to follow him in the elections coming up here shortly. Speaking of which, I think it's this Tuesday. Their primary elections coming up. Anyway, Jeff Collins grew up with me in high school there in our church. Was one of the guys in our church there that I knew. And Jeff, I didn't know he was a representative this past week. I found out, and I found out about Johnny Check, that he is grooming him to follow. Johnny Check was a young man that got saved as a teenager in our church at an activity. We had an all-night activity there. Frank Hamrick was running, and in the activity that night, we were playing Capture the Flag in the woods at night with flashlights, and the game was about over. We had about given up. Nobody had found the flag, and I was coming up to this field there, and I saw Frank Hamrick there, and I started talking with him a little bit, because I knew that the horn was about to sound, saying the game was over. And all of a sudden, we heard Johnny Check. I've got the flag! I've got the flag! And he's running down through the woods there, yelling out, I've got the flag! And then we heard a bump. And silence. And then we heard somebody else say, I need help over here! Johnny Check just run into a tree and he's knocked out cold! Went to the hospital. Fortunately, maybe a little concussion, but they got him back. The next morning after the whole night activity there, as he came back in, he got saved that morning. And God began to do a work in his life, and he started coming to our youth group. And another activity that we had, there was a game that was played that was divided into two teams, equal amount of guys and girls on each team. And the guys were supposed to all gather to ground in a group and interlock their arms and legs and everything. And the girls from the other team was to come and to try to grab one of the guys and pull them off of the pack. And for every guy that they could pull off, they would get points for their team. Well, on Johnny's team, he was about 6'5", at least, in that day. A huge guy there of a young man. And when the guys would all get together, he would go on top of them, and he would put his arms around and lock his legs and everything. And the girls, to get to the other guys, they had to get him off first. And he was unmovable. And that's the point in the word of what it means right here. When it comes to our stance of what we believe and why we believe it, we are to be unmovable. It is the truth. It never ceases to be the truth. He is the God. There is no other God. He never ceases to be God. And so there is no reason for us to ever change our opinion of Him. His Word is the same. It is unchangeable. We are to be unmovable there. For us
to be unmovable, we've got to know not just what we believe, but we need to know why we believe it. It ain't because Pastor said so. It's because God said so. It needs to be tied to His Word. Don't let professors, don't let peers pressure you into turning away from what you believe of the truth today. And then we are to be always abounding in the work of the Lord there. Abounding means increasing in. We ought to be increasing in our knowledge of God and in His purposes for us. We ought to be increasing in our submission and obedience to God's plan. We ought to be increasing in our service to God and His people, because we know that it is not in vain as we serve the Lord. It's not empty. It's not meaningless, etc. there. There's an old adage that says, if you're not growing, you're dying. And let's face it, in this life in which we live, that is constant and rapid change that is going on, even if we maintain status quo, we are just simply passive regressing. Passively regressing. We've got to be advancing. We've got to be increasing. We've got to be always abounding. Graduates, all of us, make sure that you filter the moral and spiritual garbage that is fed to you by so many that's in this world, even some of them that call themselves Christians. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the decisions that you're going to make that's going to make you what you're going to be. Find a good church if you're not able to attend ours here. Find a good church and a source of biblically correct instruction that you can get involved in. Don't just not go to church while you're in college. While you're away. And fellowship only with those that will edify and encourage you spiritually and not be the ones that discourage you. Why? Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you believe that? You better. That's what God said. If you put yourself with wise people, Christians that are seeking the Lord, then you will be better for it. But if not, you'll suffer. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Make sure that you're wanting to be sharpened and that you get with those that can help you and not pull you down. Heed the warning right here in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In the words that I've explained to you before there, communications, those that you converse with, and so forth, your company, your companions, evil company corrupts good morals. Mark it down. If you hang around with those that do not have good morals, you're going to pick up the bad habits. It's not just something that might happen. It's something God said will happen. Don't be deceived in thinking it won't happen to you. Every head bow, please. You've heard the message. It's time to evaluate. Graduates, all of us, there's a decision that needs to be made. Could I ask, what one step can you take today toward closing this chapter of your life and opening a new chapter? It's coming for each one of us. We have steps in the chapter of our lives that we find ourselves. Life is a series of new beginnings. And today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Make it a great one. You have the opportunity right now to decide. But I say this to our graduates, and I say this to every one of you listening. The first decision is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without the everlasting life that God promises to those that trust Him by faith, without that, life is short, meaningless, and death has the promise of suffering and pain of God's judgment. But He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, so that you would not have to perish with that judgment in hell. It comes by believing that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again, and by faith making a choice to receive what He did as your personal payment of sin. When you do that, that decision changes you from being dead in your trespasses and sin to being born again, spiritual life, to now having the life to live with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. It's yours for the asking. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then for every one of us that have already made that choice, there lies a decision today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to be known for by your testimony and the decisions that you make? You've maybe made some bad choices in the past, but it does not have to be the testimony you have for the future. God has a desire for you. Will you surrender to Him? Father, I pray that as we consider these choices, that You would help us to have a desire not just to try to please ourselves with our life, but to recognize, Lord, that we've been bought with a price, that You are our Lord, and that we ought to seek to please You with our choices. Help it for that to be true today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.